So last week, Christian taught on chapter 39, and I really like how he kind of highlighted a little bit about Joseph and his character as it started to be revealed to us of the man that he is and was. And it's interesting because we know as a child, we kind of saw some issues maybe he might have had with some pride, as we remember in chapter 37 of Genesis. Remember as he shared the dreams that he'd been given by the Lord? As he shared these dreams, it didn't go over too well, did it? Interesting, though, is you look at the dreams that he had in Genesis chapter 37, the interpretations was known right away to all. They seemed to understand, no question, but they definitely did not receive or accept these as a revelation from God. So Joseph's brothers then turned against him, and we know that this resulted in him being sold as a slave in Egypt. In Genesis 37, 4 and 5, it says, "But his brothers hated Joseph because their father loved him more than the rest of them. They couldn't say a kind word to him. One night, Joseph had a dream, and even when he told his brothers about it, they hated him even more." So in chapter 39, we know that Joseph's life radically changed, right? We did see God's blessings to begin to be poured out on Joseph. And his character, we started to see develop into the man that he would become. We saw that he was very trustworthy. We also saw that he was a man that it could be counted on. Genesis 39:6 says, "So Potiphar gave Joseph complete administrative responsibility over everything he owned. With Joseph there, he didn't worry about a thing except what kind of food to eat. Joseph was a very handsome and well-built man," as Christian touched on last week. So everything was going well for Joseph, right? I mean, it'd been a mess, right? Sold into slavery. This all was taking place, but now everything was going well. Then we know what happened. Christian taught on it. Verse 7. "Potiphar's wife soon began to look at him lustfully. 'Come and sleep with me,' she demanded." So everything's going well, and then this happens. But what we learned and saw that Joseph was steadfast. He was steadfast in his character and who he was. And he refused to engage in the sinful act and even come to the point that he had to run away from it, as we learned last week. He did the right thing, Joseph, right? Admirable thing he did. So just because he did this, the right thing, he ran away from this sinful act, what was the result? Question, when we do the right thing, can we always expect the results of what we could hope? It's a great little lesson I thought about as I was reviewing. Sometimes we do the right thing, but the results aren't always as we hope, are they? Sometimes even doing the right thing can cause a lot of problems. Sometimes doing the right thing can cause a lot of hurt and pain. It doesn't mean, though, that we should vary in our character. We should still do the right thing. And unfortunately for Joseph, he got himself in quite a difficult situation, didn't he? Sometimes doing the right thing can cause difficulties in his life. So Joseph was doing what was right, and doing what was right led him to prison. Now, I think that's an extreme case, obviously, but it's what happened in this case. So now, in prison, even then, God was still continuing to bless him, we read. He resulted in Joseph even being placed now in charge of the other prisoners. And so that's what we're going to pick up today. Now that Joseph has gone to prison, his life has changed again, these dreams have not come quite as he thought they would happen, is where we're going to pick up in chapter 40. Before we begin, though, I want to pray and pray for these, especially these prayer requests. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to dig deep in your word. We just thank you, Lord, as we read about these men and women in the Bible, Lord, as they just examples to us, Lord. And Lord, you've given us your word to reveal yourself to us, Lord, and who we are to be as your children. So Lord, we just ask, Lord, as I begin to teach through your word, Lord, this, we wouldn't hear from me, we'd hear from you, and your spirit would just be poured out, Lord, here. And Lord, whatever we came in with, whatever distractions we had walking in, Lord, I just pray right now, Lord, we just lay that down right now, Lord. And we just spend time in worship before your word. Especially want to lift up Julie as they were coming here to study your word, Lord, and she hurt her knee and heading over to the hospital, Lord. I just pray you go before them right now, Lord. You just heal her knee right now, Lord. That whatever is going on with it, Lord, she would get to the hospital and not even need to see a doctor. And Lord, I just pray in your name, Lord, that she would be fine. And Lord, just a miraculous healing on whatever's taking place there, Lord. Also, Lord, I want to pray for Caleb and his family, Lord. I just pray for peace upon that entire situation, a peace that could only be by you. And Lord, I pray for your will in all of this, Lord, but I still Lord, we beg and plead, Lord, for a miraculous healing for this young boy. But Lord, we trust you, and we trust in your will, and we trust in who you are, that you are a loving God, even as things like this happen. So Lord, we just want to commit this family before you and just show us how to be praying for them and praying for Caleb. And Lord, just reveal to us, Lord, how we can intercede for them, Lord. And Lord, please just bless this message, Lord, as we talk about some difficult subjects for some. But Lord, I just want to be faithful to teach through your word. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen, amen. All right, chapter 40, Genesis. Let's look at the first four verses to start. Sometime later, Pharaoh's chief cupbearer and chief baker offended their royal master. Pharaoh became angry with these two officials, and he put them in prison where Joseph was, in place in the palace of the captain of the guard. They remained in prison for quite some time, and the captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, who looked after them. So these passages begin right away with these two men who held really top positions before. The cupbearer, he had the responsibility to provide Pharaoh the wine. Really, though, it wasn't just providing, right? There's much more to it. It was ensuring his safety and that this drink would be safe for him. Then the chief baker was responsible to Pharaoh for all of his food and that it was safe also for him to eat. You know, these two men really, they had a privileged position in society and in this government or whatever you want to call it. They were entrusted by the main leader, Pharaoh, to provide his food and his drink. I mean, these are just the basic things that we need in life, isn't it? And these men were entrusted with this. This was a very important, high-ranking job. And it's, you know, the reason was because Pharaoh and his leadership, I'm sure there was many plots against him during the years that many people would challenge him and know that if maybe they could poison him, they could get, I mean, we read stories throughout history, right? They poison him and the next person could take office or whatever that would look like, or maybe an adversary of some sort. So he has placed these men in these positions to make sure and ensure this would not happen. This was a very important position. He had to trust these guys. They couldn't be bought or sold off, and they would serve him and to be diligent and faithful in doing that. So it would appear, we don't know, it just says one of them offended him. We don't get exactly the backstory of what happened. But it's likely, as they were entrusted to protect Pharaoh, there's possibility there was some type of poisoning or something had taken place and gone wrong. And apparently, he imprisoned them both. So we don't know at this point if it was the drink or the food, but Pharaoh was just got them all. He didn't know what was going on, so he imprisoned them both for whatever had taken place, whatever had broken down inside of this. I think Pharaoh or the people that were in charge of this were unsure. And this, I think, also is the only reason both of them are still alive. Because if he knew one of these tried to poison him, I mean, he'd kill them right there. I'm sure of that. So I think there was something there that they didn't know what was going on and they were trying to figure it out. But we're not really sure. It doesn't give a lot of details. But I do find it odd that either one of these guys was still walking. Because if they tried to poison Pharaoh and he knew it, they knew it, I'm sure they'd been dead. But either way, maybe God just is making sure and working out his plan in this. So it says here, verse 4, I want to read something from Guzik. I'm going to quote Guzik like 3 times tonight because it was just so good and I couldn't steal it and I couldn't plagiarize it. So I just have to share it with you because it was so good. And so he said on this in verse 4, look at verse 4 again even. It says, for quite some time, the captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph who looked after them. So the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them. This is Guzik. And he served them. This favorable treatment of Joseph by the captain of the guard shows that Potiphar did not really believe the accusations of his wife made against Joseph. We know this because Potiphar himself was the captain of the guard. Now, this is subjection, right? I tend to believe and agree with this commentary, but it is interesting to think because honestly, if Potiphar believed his wife, Joseph wouldn't have been alive. There's no way. He would have killed him. But I think he was backed into a corner and he's in a very difficult spot. I don't know. I think he was a very wise man. We can assume that, and I think that's true. And he knew more than we really read or know. But I think his hands were tied in this situation. So it was graceful for him just to put him in prison. I think he had some idea that there was other things going on. Maybe he didn't know exactly, but I think if he truly believed Joseph had done this to his wife, Joseph would not be alive. We don't know for sure. It's reading between the lines a bit, but that's one thing we can do when we can study scripture. We can look at things and we can look at the context and wonder like, honestly, in that time, it would have been no big deal to kill Joseph. And so God spared him, but I think he did this because this man knew something was not quite right. And we know this was a dear and trusted, his top guy. And if he believed his top guy really betrayed him, no way. He'd have killed him. So let's see, verse 5 and 7. While they were in prison, Pharaoh's cupbearer and baker each had a dream one night. And each dream had its own meaning. When Joseph saw them the next morning, he noticed that they both looked upset. "Why do you look so worried today?" he asked them. So each of them have had a dream. Now I'm going to be very clear. I think they knew it, and we all know it. This was not a normal dream, right? We all have dreams, right? This was not a normal dream. They knew something was different about this dream, supernaturally. They knew. And they knew, so they were seeking meaning or an interpretation of what this dream meant. This is something supernatural. They know. And I read this, and I wonder, like, why or how did they know that this dream was different? Why were they so upset? I mean, when we read the dream, like, why were they so upset about this dream? Something had rattled them bad. Something was really bothering them. And they believed in this that they needed to find out what it meant. This was something supernatural. It just wasn't a weird dream. Because when you read it, if you just had this dream, it'd just be like, that was a weird dream. But they knew something was different. Now, I had a dream the other night. And I don't have a lot of dreams, but I had a dream the other night. And I don't remember, like, when I have dreams, I only remember, like, bits and pieces sometimes. It's kind of weird, right? And I think that's part of knowing, oh, by the way. Because when you have a dream from God, it is detailed, it is specific, and you will remember it like the rest of your life. Where this dream is kind of fuzzy and like kind of weird. So you ready for a weird dream? You're going to hold me to this one, right? So I had a dream the other night, and again, I don't remember a lot, but I remember that I'd went to someone's house. Maybe it was one of you guys. I don't know whose house it was. I have no idea. And they were serving me dinner. I was like, well, okay, you know, that's pretty good. And then the plate came out. They came out. I remember they delivered it. And it was just, the whole plate was empty, except right in the middle was a lock of hair. Like a woman had cut their ponytail off and tied it like in a bow. And it's in the middle. And they served it, and that was what they were serving me for dinner. Weird, right? That's weird, right? And so I remember in the dream that I looked up, and I looked at the plate. I remember this part of the dream. And then I looked up at the person, kind of obviously in surprise, they were serving me a lock of hair for dinner. And I'm like, I remember thinking in my mind, I'm supposed to be like considerate and eat whatever is served, but this is weird. And then I look up at the person I remember in the dream, they looked at me, are you okay with eating this? And that's all I remember from the dream. That's a weird dream, right? I mean, that's weird. But it isn't no weirder than what these guys were having, right? It isn't any weirder. It's strange. I do not believe that dream was from God. I believe it was just a dream, a weird, weird dream. There's no interpretation of that dream. I'm not seeking to find what that meant. There's no meaning. It's just weird. I don't know why. I have no answers for you. But it was a weird dream. I have, though, had dreams from God. I have definitely had that. And there was a big difference, and the dreams were very clear, very specific, very meaningful. And I didn't always get the interpretation. You can say, this is, I will agree with you. You don't always get it necessarily right away, but it is clear. And when you do get it interpreted, it is very specific, and this is what it means. And that's from God, which we're going to get into. I told you I'd quote Guzik again. I'm going to give you another big quote from Guzik. I'm going to read it. It's kind of slow because I think he did such a good job at this section. It is always important to remember that not every dream is a revelation from God. Dreams can come just because our minds are busy. A dream comes through much activity. For the multitude of dreams and many words, there is also vanity. The Bible warns that false prophets might use dreams to give weight to their message. Still, we should be open to the ways that God might speak, even if it might be in a dream. Our message is the same. Don't look for messages from God anywhere else in the Bible. It is God's voice. Yet we recognize from time to time, God will choose an unusual way to speak to us, yet never against the Bible or never even equal to the Bible. So I think he did a good job on explaining that every dream we have is not a revelation from God. In fact, I believe it to be very rare. Yet God can use dreams. But also, don't count it out. Don't, you know, throw it out with the bathwater, as we could say. Because, you know, God can and will use dreams. And he has, in my own life, used dreams. but it's been very specific. It's usually because I'm dealing with something specific. He wants me to go a different direction or a different calling. There seems to be a real solid purpose in that. It's not about, what did that lock of hair mean? What about that? What color was the plate? No, that's not how God's dreams work. They are very definite, I do believe. And we're going to see that. So looking back at the verses and the text, we'll go away from that a little bit. I did see again, as Christian was mentioning, about Joseph, his character coming out. And I did notice in verse 4, as it said, if you look in verse 4, it said, who Joseph who looked after them. And then in verse 6, it says, he noticed that they looked upset and then continues to talk to them. So we see something about Joseph. Joseph's position obviously was not good. He was in prison. He had many problems, I'm sure, of his own to deal with and thoughts, as this was obviously not what he had planned. Yet, what we see in these passages, as he's in prison with his own problems, he shows a concern for others. I think there's all sorts of little lessons we can learn. But he noticed these men. He noticed that they were upset, that they were worried. Now, then what? Joseph, again, he noticed, but what then? What about us? Do we notice sometimes people, they're upset, they're worried, but then we have all of our own worries and appointments and the world to go on to, right? Joseph could have just turned like, yeah, that guy looks pretty upset, and walked away. It's not what Joseph did, and I think it's a little lesson. Joseph took action on what he noticed, what had been revealed to him, and he reached out and asked these two, are you okay? What's going on? It's a little lesson. Like, I love the Bible because there's all these little tiny lessons. He wasn't even thinking that he could help in some way. I mean, what was he going to do? He's a prisoner. So he didn't have any ideas or solutions, but he was willing to listen and just ask these men and care and have compassion on these men for whatever was going on, as he didn't really know yet. So I think that's an admirable character trait of Joseph that all of us can look at, that he noticed, he took time to notice, but then he took action and listened to what they had to say. Not expecting maybe to do anything, but just to have concern for these men. So let's see in verses 8 and 9. While they were in prison, Pharaoh's cupbearer and the baker each had a dream one night. And each dream had its own meaning. When Joseph saw them the next morning, he noticed they both looked upset. Why are you so worried today? Go all the way to 11. Sorry, I'm repeating the verses. That's right. 8. And then they replied, we both had dreams last night, but no one can tell us what they mean. Interpreting dreams is God's business, Joseph replied. Go ahead and tell me your dreams. So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dreams first. In my dream, he said, I saw a grapevine in front of me. The vine had three branches that began to bud and blossom and soon produced clusters of ripe grapes. I was holding Pharaoh's wine cup in my hand, so I took a cluster of grapes and squeezed the juice into a cup. Then I placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. So these first one begins to explain, these two explain first that they had this dream. And they shared their desire that they desperately needed to understand what this dream meant. And again, I believe this desire that they were feeling was supernatural. There was something about this that really bothered them that they needed to understand. But Joseph then, as they begin, right, he asks them to share. Then as soon as they say that, Joseph really interrupts them, right? I mean, you see that he really interrupts them. I mean, it says, and they replied, we both had dreams last night, but no one can tell us what they mean. And then Joseph steps right in. He says, interpreting dreams is God's business. He asked them then after that to go ahead and share their dreams. You know, Joseph has some experience with dreams, doesn't he? He has some experience. And it didn't seem to work out too well for him so far, did it? I mean, you think about the dreams he had had and where he was at and where he came from. It hadn't been working out too well, but I think he makes a very important point. Interpreting dreams is God's business. And this is scripture. I think it's so important because so many people with dreams and interpretations go outside of scripture. They go outside of God and they seek interpretations. What does this mean? I mean, you can go down to Chiang Mai and see people on the street in their little booths that'll tell you they can interpret your dreams. But I don't think many is doing that here. But the thing is, we also can get outside of, even in the church, we can get out of that, right? We can even go to people within the church that maybe haven't been called by God. And then people say, oh, I think it means this and I think it means that. That's not how God wouldn't do that. I do not believe. Joseph stating this is very important. I really believe it's very important. But so then he asked them to share. So this wasn't like he couldn't do it, right? It's not like maybe one of you isn't called to do it. The point was that it was God who would do it. It's the Holy Spirit who would do it. It's not us. Maybe you've been gifted that way. Joseph obviously has been. And he knew it. He knew it. Supernaturally, he knew it. Or he wouldn't have went forward, I don't believe. So he says, share. So again, he clearly knew somehow, some way, that God had gifted him with an ability to interpret this in some way. Because he said this. So it's a great lesson for us, right? I think right here, another little lesson. Say someone comes to one of us and says, I need to share about a sin I'm struggling with. Or maybe they say, I want to come and share about my marriage and the problems I'm having. Or, right? And then the question is, do you think that I, the pastor, can fix any of this? No, I can't. Do you think any of you have the ability to fix someone in their sin or their marriage? I just tell you no. That's absolute no. Only God can, and God will, and he does every single day and every single minute. So we can listen. Joseph listened. We can listen. That's okay. But we need to point them to Jesus. We need to point them to the Word. We need to point them to prayer. We need to point them to fellowship. Because God does heal and does restore. But if we think we can do that for someone, we are very much wrong. God can, and he will. And he's done it for me, and I know he's done it for many of you. But I think here it's a great lesson that God can heal, restore, redeem, and all through faith in him. So God has called Joseph, and he's going to use him. But Joseph was clear right from the start. As soon as they said it, he's like, it's God. It's God. It's not me who will be able to do this. That is so important for us when it comes to interpreting dreams or anything else. We are just brothers and sisters in Christ. We do have the Holy Spirit living within us, but it is God who heals and restores. And it's going to be through pointing them to Jesus, pointing them through the Word, and watching God just do miraculous things. And sometimes we get to witness that, but it's about Jesus. It's not about us. So anyways, be aware of anyone who says otherwise. I can interpret your dreams. You know what? That's a lie. I can heal your, that's not true. They cannot. There are some that have been anointed by God, but that is God that does that. And then feeling in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They cannot. So I want to be clear on that. So in verses 9 through 11, this cupbearer, he explains his dream. And notice the details that he gives in the dream. It was very specific, wasn't it? This dream in 9 through 11. I mean, he's like, I saw a grapevine. The vine had three branches. It began to bud and blossom. Then it produced clusters of grapes. Then I'm holding Pharaoh's cup. I took a cluster of grapes, squeezed the juice in the cup. And then I mean, it's very detailed. Very, very detailed. And I think that's an idea, a character, maybe of a dream from God, is that they're very detailed. Not necessarily in the detail, but they're very clear. Let's go with that word. They're going to be very clear. They're not going to be fuzzy. They're not going to be like, what was that? What was this? This guy knew exactly what he saw in detail. He knew exactly what it was. He didn't understand what it meant. He didn't know the interpretation, but he knew that I guarantee this was vivid in his mind. And I do believe a dream from God will be very vivid. And I think we see that. And we're going to see that in interpretation also. So let's look at 12 to 15. This is what the dream means, Joseph said. The three branches represent 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift you up and restore you to your position as his chief cupbearer. And please remember me and do me a favor when things go well for you. Mention me to Pharaoh so you might let me out of this place. For I was kidnapped from my homeland, the land of the Hebrews, and now I'm here in prison, but I did nothing to deserve it. So Joseph here in the passages basically, without any thought, just seems to right away interpret and give the correct interpretation. And again, the interpretation, what you notice, it's very clear, it's very direct. A biblical interpretation of a dream will be very specific, clear, and direct. What it does not look like. I know someone here in the next year is going to get a pay raise. I say it, but it's true. Godly prophecy is clear, direct, and specific. This was very specific. There's no wiggle worm for Joseph in this, was there? Right? There's no wiggle worm. oh, it didn't go exactly this way or did it go that way. The only thing that had to wait was 3 days. Had to wait 3 days. That's it. In 3 days, it was going to be either he gave the right interpretation or he didn't. There's no gray area in this interpretation, was there? And I think that's true a lot. No gray area. In 3 days, everyone would know if Joseph is correct, and they would know if the dream's meaning was correct. So Joseph then in confidence, right, knowing what's going to happen, Joseph obviously believed this wholeheartedly because his request, right? He gives a request. And he asks, he says, help me get out of here. I'm innocent, right? Pretty simple. A smart move, really, right, for Joseph? He's taking that opportunity that he's given by God, by the way. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. He's using this gift that he's been given, helping to get himself out of a place that he felt he was wrongly there for, which was correct. Guzik, here's another one. I told you I'm going to have like three today. Guzik says he used wisdom and common sense to try to get himself out of prison, even though God was with him in prison. Seeing God in your present circumstances doesn't mean that God wants you in those circumstances forever. I love that. I just had to show that. You hear that? Seeing God in your present circumstance doesn't mean God wants you in those circumstances forever. I thought it was a great quote. Let's look at 16 and 17. When the chief baker saw that Joseph had given the first dream such a positive interpretation, he said to Joseph, I had a dream too. In my dream, there were three baskets of white pastries stacked on my head. The top basket contained all kinds of pastries for Pharaoh, but the birds came and ate them from the basket on top of my head. Let's just stop right there. So you can't really blame this guy, right? I mean, hopefully he's hoping for the best, right? I mean, I don't think he had much to lose at this point. He's already in prison. It's a strange dream. That's almost as strange as my lock of hair, isn't it? Maybe my hair is stranger. It's a strange dream. I mean, what would you interpret that as? You hear that. What would you even think? Someone just told you that. I don't even think we can guess. I mean, it's like, what does this mean? No idea. Only God would know what that meant. So let's see, verses 18 and 19. This is what the dream means, Joseph told him. The three baskets also represent 3 days. 3 days from now, Pharaoh will lift you up and impale your body on a pole, and then the birds will come and peck away at your flesh. Joseph boldly proclaims the meaning and the interpretation to this man of his dream. Again, 3 days, this man was going to be lifted up, having a pole ran up through him, and then the birds are going to be picking the meat off his bones. It's quite the interpretation. If I had a word from God like that, I'd be like, are you sure, God? Could you imagine receiving that word from God? Saying to someone what he just said? I mean, who would come up with this out of that dream? I mean, who would even imagine this? You know it was from God. No guesswork on Joseph's word, his interpretation. But the question was, you know, most prophets, most interpretations half the time are not easy things to say to people. They're not. We look throughout the Bible, the prophets, the word of God that people received. What is it most of the time? Turn from your evil ways and turn to God. The same is for us today, right? When we get a word from a person, it's not like, oh, you're going to be blessed. It could happen, right? We can have, but most of the time, there's something going on in that person's life that needs to be addressed. Are you willing to speak into a person's life if you receive a word from God? It can be tough. It can be really hard. And you could even lose friendships over it at times, couldn't you? It could be really hard. You better be sure it's from God. But I think we know when it is. We know. Now, is there a time and a place and a way to do that in love? Yes, there is. But some awesome lessons here. Let's look at 20 through 23. Pharaoh's birthday came 3 days later, and he prepared a banquet for all his officials and staff. He summoned the chief cupbearer and the chief baker to join the other officials. Could you imagine that guy getting that news? Come on. He then restored the chief cupbearer to his former position so he could again hand Pharaoh his cup. But Pharaoh impaled the chief baker just as Joseph had predicted when he interpreted the dream. Pharaoh's chief cupbearer, however, forgot all about Joseph, never giving him another thought. What a story. So it's his birthday. How do you make this up? I mean, it's Pharaoh's birthday. Just think about that. There's got to be some symbolism or something in this. I mean, right? I was thinking about that. What's the odds of this story? And it leads to his birthday. 3 days later, they're celebrating him, and they've gathered all the servants, and they're all called before him for his birthday celebration. Now, the one we know, we saw he's been restored. He's been able to serve his Lord, right? The Pharaoh, that's his Lord at that time. Well, the other one received judgment for what he had done. A picture, I see. One received restoration, one received judgment. Sadly, for reasons unknown at the time, poor Joseph was forgot about and remained in prison. God's timing sometimes is very hard. You imagine Joseph having to accept this? I'm sure he saw this as his opportunity. God's working. He gave me this. This is how I'm going to get out. This is it. He'd been there a while, the one verse says. This wasn't a short time he was in prison. How many times do we see that? God's working. God still had great plans for Joseph. Amazing plans, as I'm sure he has for every one of us here today. And the world had forgot about Joseph, completely forgot about him. He was forced to remain in prison. But God had not forgot about him, had he? He hadn't. But, ready for this? God's will for Joseph is that he would remain in prison for that time. This would be hard to accept, wouldn't it? After just seeing what happened, Joseph was innocent the whole time. Now we know later how it all works out. Right? But we don't always have that picture in our lives, do we? Sometimes we just don't understand. Joseph surely did not understand at this time what was taking place. But we know he remained faithful. I'm sure he had some very, very, very difficult days. I want to close with three things. The last one was from Guzik again. I'm going to try to read this twice because it's a lot to kind of take in, but he did such an amazing typology here. And you know, I share all the time, place yourself in the story, right? So if you place yourself in the story, where would you usually place yourself in this story? Think about that. Who would you be? How would you look? How would you act? You know, so Guzik says it this way. And I just loved how he said this again. In trying to see ourselves in the Bible, we usually want to say, I am Joseph. How many of you said Joseph? God can use me to reveal his word and his mysteries to others. Well, praise the Lord. There's a place for that, he says. But it's not the best way to see ourselves here. More so, we are like the butler and the baker. Jesus is like Joseph to us all. An innocent man came into our prison and shared our condition. An innocent prisoner revealed God's message to us. An innocent prisoner was proved true in 3 days. I'm going to read that again. An innocent man came into our prison and shared our condition. An innocent prisoner revealed God's message to us. An innocent prisoner was proved true in 3 days. Joseph shows us Jesus, whose message from God brings life or death. If you're looking for a message from God, look to Jesus. Amazing typology I saw that he brought out there. So today, if you're looking for answers or questions in your life, maybe it's a calling. You're wondering, where am I called? What's next for me, Lord? What's the season you got for me? Or maybe it's a dream that you've had or a vision that you've been given by God. What does it mean? What's the interpretation? What's this look like? What's the timing, right? Timing is such a huge thing, right? I've had different timing is huge. Obviously, this wasn't Joseph's timing yet, right? Maybe you've received a word. We believe in these gifts from someone else in the church, a brother or sister. They've given you a word. Hey, I believe God has spoke this to me. And you're like, Is this a word from God? What does it mean? Whatever question you may have, I have the answer. The Word of God. Open up your Bibles. Dig deep into the Word of God. God will speak to you through the Word of God. And He will bring clarity and the correct meaning and interpretation to all the questions that we do have in life. Now, how timing works sometimes, I don't have all the answers. Obviously, Joseph didn't have all the answers right then. But if you will stay in the study of God's word, he will bring clarity to these questions that you have in his timing. We don't have to guess and wonder, right? God will bring clear and definite meaning and direction to you. Seek him through reading the word. Be in prayer. Be in fellowship. Be in church. And know and take rest and know interpreting dreams is God's business in his timing. Trust him. Have peace. Rest. Maybe something has been spoken to you or spoken over your life. And you don't know. Just have rest and peace. It's in God's hands. It's not our responsibility. It's God's to bring that interpretation to you. And he may do it through his word, very likely. But he may use another person. You know, I think what I see here most of all, is in our world, we have a lot of false teachings. And often, as we spoke and kind of made fun of it, though, what we see here is very definite interpretations of the dream. I mean, it was clear. You cannot mistake the interpretation, the meaning of the dream. It says here, right here, Pharaoh will lift you up and restore you to your position. And then it goes on. And the other guy, it says very simply, I had a dream too. He says that he will be impaled and the birds will pluck his flesh off his bones. Very clear, right? Does anyone, when you read any of them interpretations from Joseph, is anyone confused? Right? There's no confusion. God is not a God of confusion. When he gave the meaning, the interpretation, it was clear, absolute, and they knew. The same is for us. When someone says and gives you, oh, maybe it means this, or maybe it means that. No, God doesn't. No. God wants to bless you. He wants to guide you. He wants to come alongside you. He wants to equip you. And he's going to do it very clearly. And so when you have these mixed things, maybe that's not of the Lord. So let's pray. We're going to have a fellowship meal together. And again, remember, interpreting dreams is God's business. But in God's work, he does use us and he uses his word. So let's be clear. It's not us, right? I can't interpret dreams. But God could use me to do that for you. Yes, that's true. But most often, we see it through his word. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this message, Lord. I'm just so appreciative, Lord, just to study and read of Joseph's life, Lord. And what a man that was just going to be used mightily by you, yet he sits in prison. After being used by you, sits in prison. So, Lord, just please reveal to each one of us your truth, Lord, that each one of us would have a clear vision, Lord, of what you would have for each one of us. And Lord, maybe we don't have some of the details right now. Maybe there's some here wondering, what's next in my life? What's it look like? Lord, I pray each one of us, Lord, would just start each day knowing who you are and that we can have rest and peace, that all we need to do is get up and surrender to you, trust you, and follow after you this very day. And the rest is up to you. So Lord, I just surrender this to you. And that's a blessing on our food. And again, I pray for Julie to hear a great report. And also, Lord, I just lift up Caleb and his family, Lord. Please just show us again how we can intercede for this family, Lord. And I do pray, Lord, I do pray for your gifts to be poured out on this church and all the churches and all the Christians in Chiang Mai. And I do pray, Lord, that we would receive visions and dreams. And Lord, we would seek the interpretations from you. And you would clearly define what these things are and guide us through these things. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen.